mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He doing.
Here's the thing, if you're looking for new news on Giannis Antetokounmpo, it feels like all you gotta do is refresh your browser. Refresh news. Refresh news. Refresh news. Now, it's not real news. It's just sort of, what do they call that? Fake news? It's fake news. It's what was
Re-verge.
Your, what did you say the other day, Gabe? Knicks fan wants Giannis to be a Knick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a whole story on that. So right now on Bleacher Report, it says Giannis Raptors reportedly have mutual interest among NBA trade rumors. That article dropped just a few moments ago. I'm trying to figure out what the source of it was, and I believe, Gabe, you were doing the same thing.
Toronto Star is the one doing the initial reporting, because, again, everything gets aggregated to the nth degree.
Right.
But the Toronto Star, the one doing the reporting there.
So Brian Windhorst said on Sunday that Toronto is looking for a big fish on the trade market this offseason, and then I don't know how that got spun into mutual interest, but that is the report from the from Bleacher Report right now, from the Toronto Star right now. Look, is it shocking that every team is interested in Giannis? No. Do we recognize that not every team can actually make a trade for Giannis? Yes. And so what we will keep trying to do here on Jen Gabe and Chewy is parse through the teams that want Giannis, all of them, to the teams that could actually make a trade for Giannis. I'm imagining that Gabe, over the next 20 minutes or so, is going to be working on that. What was that website you did the other day? The trade?
Oh, the trade machine.
Trade machine. Like, look, why can I not remember trade machine?
But look, cool, Toronto. You were 30-52 last year. Like, if we're all under this guise that winning is the only thing that's important to Giannis, why is he going to a team that's 30-52 and you're going to have to give up a lot of your young players that led you to a 30-52 record? Like, what are we even doing here? Like, no, cool, Toronto, you think you can? No, Giannis isn't going to Toronto and dealing with whatever you have on your roster. It's already a bad roster.
I know. I just don't understand what this meeting is. I don't. What's the meeting? Like, hey, we're going to continue to do what you've been doing to win a championship.
Well, it's
start making moves doing this.
The meeting,
there is a formality element to it.
There's a meeting of, hey, Giannis, do you want to stay or do you want to go? I want to go. All right. Well, you got to make it publicly. Oh, I want to stay.
You think it's that easy? You think it's that easy?
I mean, ultimately. I mean, is there going to be some, you know, some things sprinkled in there to make the meeting last longer than 10 minutes? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but also, guys, have you ever had a meeting where you get down to brass tacks within the first 5 minutes? No. And I hate it. If I go in for a meeting and I know what we want to talk about, the whole time I'm just going, can we talk about the thing yet? 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 Because you're doing all the small talk to warm each other up to then talk about the serious
it
thing
should be,
that you need to get to.
Yeah, like, that's
this feels like, it feels like a meet-to-meet. My brother loved meet-to-meets. Hey, let's have a meeting to set up the next meeting after this. I'm like, the hell are we doing here?
Oh, and they could do that a couple of times here, too. Like, they get together. Okay, we're not going to make the real decision at this meeting. Let's meet again next week, and that's when we're going to make the real decision.
Is there a timeline?
I would say, I think the timeline is the draft, because I would assume the Bucks would want, you know, assets as soon as possible if they're going to trade Giannis. So, Damian Lillard got traded right before training camp. Like, I don't know if there's like a hard deadline. If it's going to be ambiguous and just float out there, unless Giannis says no, I'm not going to get traded, then this thing could float for as long as into next season.
I mean, are there any demands that he's going to go in? He's like, I'm going to stay, but I want this and I want that. No?
Unsure of that.
They're hamstrung.
I do want to get to this sound from Brian Windhorst, because, again, I don't think that this is breaking news, but this is what Windy said over the weekend, apparently in addition to reminding people that the Raptors would be interested in a superstar. Take a listen to Brian Windhorst on First Take.
So, yes, we are going to focus on what happens with Giannis. Absolutely. Giannis's decision about whether he wants to be traded or not. Secondly, about whether or not Giannis is going to have a full control over where he gets traded. Because he's got 2 years on his contract. It's a little bit of a gray area. The Bucks, to get the maximum value, may not be able to give him exactly what he wants, but giving him exactly what he wants may make things a lot easier. So I think that's a big factor. But the key to me is the Giannis domino effect, where he might get traded and what that might trigger, both with the teams involved in the trade and the other teams that come around it. So Giannis is going to say a lot of things. And while I could list you a bunch of teams that could make a big offer for him, if I was Giannis and I'm looking at the lay of the land right now, I want to stay in the Eastern Conference. I don't want to go to a Western Conference team because it's going to be a really hard mountain to climb.
So not a shock, Chew, that Giannis is sort of that first domino that has to fall around the league. And I want to be clear on this. I said this the other day. Give Giannis as much time as he wants if he is actively in the decision-making part of the process. But the league may think differently, Gabe. If, as Brian Windhorst says, he is the first domino that will fall and then all of these other things take place, there are going to be teams that are going to be like, you know, what's that lady, Judge Judy? Okay, there are going to be teams who are Judge Judying their way through. Come on, let's go. Bop, bop, bop.
Well, yeah, but they're also going to be willing to wait for a player like Giannis. If Giannis does become available, which, again, I believe he's ultimately going to stay in Milwaukee, but if he does, if I'm wrong, and he does become available, that means teams are going to wait because a guy who's a top three player in the league doesn't become available all that often. And if that's what you think you need to win a championship, you will be as patient as you can. You're not going to make the mistake of, oh, instead of trading for Giannis, let's go grab these three pieces. And then, oh, crap, we could have had Giannis instead. Like, you're not going to want to do that. You're not going to want to look back and go, oh, I wish we wouldn't have done that because then now we can't really make a move for Giannis. So the league will be as patient as it needs to be. Like, everybody will wait for Giannis because you don't want to miss out on that Giannis sweepstakes. And if Giannis decides to stay or if you miss out on the Giannis sweepstakes, then you can move on to the Kevin Durants and all the other players that are going to end up moving this offseason.
But where does he go that makes them a contender right away? Because they're going to have to get rid of their assets.
It's the tough part, Chew. That's the million-dollar question. And that's a big reason why I think he stays. That's a big reason why I think he ultimately stays.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it'd be smart for him to leave. Not yet. No, I think there will be a time.
Sure.
But now's not the time.
Yeah, maybe that gets revisited when this contract expires, you know, as it does. But right now, I just don't think it makes a ton of sense. Yeah, again, great that Toronto's interested.
Well, but also I want to make sure I note this because in the Bleacher Report article, it does say, in addition to all of these players who, I'm going to be honest, I don't know most of them, but they have control over all of their future first-round picks, including the number 9 overall pick this year. Does that at all, having control over those first-round picks, a package of several first-round picks for Giannis, does that make you worried that they may be able to put a package together?
No. I don't want the Raptors picks if that's where Giannis goes, because those picks aren't going to be worth as much. You're going to have to, like, the Raptors would have to get a third team involved. A team that doesn't have, you know, picks that are going to be valuable. You know, that's what makes the Houston Rockets a potential destination. Yeah, they're in the West. They got a ton of picks, and a bunch of those picks do not belong to the Houston Rockets, which is why those picks would be enticing, because now I actually have a lottery pick. I've got a chance to get in the top 5. I've got a chance for the number 1 pick. Like, if you trade Giannis to Toronto and they make the playoffs next year, the 22nd overall pick isn't that valuable. I don't care. So, yeah, cool that you control all your picks. Sweet brag, just because we don't. Cool.
All right, I'm not even sure where to go with this, honestly. Like, I got people on the YouTube stream who are like, Brian Windhorst doesn't know what he's talking about. Why does anyone take Windy seriously? Like, again,
he's one of the best in the league.
This is going to be a conversation. Like, this is going to be something that continues. So you can either choose to ignore all of it and just say, hey, wake me up when Giannis makes the decision, and then I'll start to have a reaction.
I have been critical about Windy and his Giannis comments in the past, but seemingly, and it's in that clip as well that we just heard, he does always point out if Giannis decides to go. Like, he's one of the few people who actually puts the qualifier in there before going, hey, here's what happens if Giannis wants to leave.
Here's the thing. Even if Giannis leaves, I still can enjoy his Instagram posts. I still can enjoy him. Did you see the one yesterday? He's wearing his bonnet. He took a picture of himself wearing his bonnet.
No.
I was like, oh, look at our Giannis.
But if he's going to leave, he knows where he's going right now. He's not going to go and, like, I don't want to go to Toronto after he already says hey, I want to be traded.
He may have an
then
idea.
Some of the damage is done. Then some of the damage is done, though. How do you walk that back?
I
don't want to be here.
Sure, but like because he has 2 years on the deal, Chew, it's going to be difficult for him to dictate where he wants to go. Like, he can give him a list of teams, right?
But how bad would that be, Gabe, if he says, yes, I'm going, and the Bucks said, I will trade you to the Raptors or the Washington Wizards? And he's like, no.
All right,
well, then it ain't going to happen.
Then looks like you're sticking around, pal.
But then won't he take a hit? PR hit?
If that gets out publicly, yeah.
That's why I'm like, if he does want to leave, he's already got his team in mind.
I'm sure his agent, like, if he's decided to go, you know this, Chew, like, his agent's backdooring stuff and going to bring potential ideas for trades to the Bucks that they would ultimately have to agree to.
But there are PR ramifications, so they kind of got to tiptoe through this thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I had to say.
If you're looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner, Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. So what does that mean? That means at Fifth Third Bank, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections, which their team here in Milwaukee certainly has done. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have.
Six, seven.
I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost six, and seven, teams. 5309
on 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest. Most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. He got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They have three locations to stop into, Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
There's a thought that Trey Hendrickson might not play at all in the 2025-2026 season. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the pass rusher is extremely dug in regarding his position on his value. You know, he's been in this dispute now with the Bengals for a while, feeling like he deserves more than, you know, look, his production would indicate that. His production would indicate that he deserves a contract extension or a new deal with the Bengals. But of course, as Packers fans who have had deficiencies at that position, I was trying to figure out how to say it nicely. Deficiencies feels like a nice way. Yeah, right? If I said, Chew, you have deficiencies, that feels nicer than, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you could say worse, you could say better, but it's right in the middle.
Thank you. Well,
if you were being mean, what would you say?
You suck.
You're an idiot.
All right.
Okay. All right. Good. Moving on. Packers fans are going to kind of keep an eyeball on this. You know, they're not focused on it, but every time Trey Hendrickson's name comes up, it does feel like, where are they at in their conversation? And according to Jeremy Fowler, he's extremely dug in. So let's talk about it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's Better H-E-L-P. Gabe, I'll go to you first on this. Do you start to feel like this could be a thing? The longer it delays, the more dug in, quote unquote, Hendrickson gets.
Yeah, again, just kind of keeping an eye on it. I mean, you're hoping that you can kind of steal him and get, oh, well, if you're not going to use him, you know, that seems perfect, right? Like, if the Bengals grow frustrated and they end up selling low on him, that's right up Goody's alley, underpaying for something.
Correct.
But you do have to give him...
Even though he's older than people, than we have seen him traditionally invest in.
And that's why I kind of think that it's ultimately not going to happen, even if he somehow does get traded. Like, I don't see Goody lining up to pay somebody who is 30 million, or excuse me, 30 years old and just going to give him $30+ million per year. Just,
Goody doesn't do the double whammy. Just take that one right off the books. Even if it was a second round pick, which my guess, I mean, it would probably be a first.
Well, no, I don't think. Sure,
he led the league in sacks.
But Chewy, I think if they got an offer for a first round pick, I think Trey Hendrickson would already be gone. Like, if the Bengals could have turned Trey into a first round pick, they would have already done it.
No, I don't think they can get rid of him, because if you look. I don't know what publication was, but their odds were, as far as reaching the Super Bowl, were one click better than the Packers. And without him, they've got no chance. Because their problem is defense. They have to. They're going to re-sign him. This is just Mike Brown being tighter than two coats of paint. My guess is the deal will get done. Well, because he's already said, I don't need to break the bank and be the highest paid. I just want to be paid fairly.
Well, and this is, to me, Chew, this is something that you talk about a lot, but this is just like a practical lesson in, hey, sign your guys early. Because the Bengals had an opportunity last year to sign him to an extension after he had 17 and a half sacks. Oh, don't worry about it. If you play well next year, then we'll take care of you. And part of the article that was on ESPN.com over the weekend was the Bengals going, whoa. Well, we had no idea that the pass rushing market was just going to get so out of control. Now we have to, well, guess
what? Aren't you supposed to know that?
Well, sure. But also, if you would have paid him before the pass rush market got out of control and gave him an extension, you wouldn't have to worry about that. The earlier you sign your guys, the less it's going to cost. Like, that's just always true. The longer you wait in the NFL, the more it's ultimately going to cost you, because contracts aren't going down. They're only going up.
Especially at that position.
Yeah, especially at a premium position.
Yeah.
But it's the lesson that the Packers had to learn the hard way with Devontae. Oh, don't worry, Devontae. You play well. We'll take care of you. Okay, go out and have another All-Pro year. And then you lowball him and he goes, fine, I'll just become a free agent. We'll just do it that way. Like, don't take care of your guys. If they are a cornerstone of your franchise, take care of them early. You will not regret it, because it's going to be a cheaper deal.
That's why I said last week, throw that money at Christian Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, you know he's going to be, I don't know if he'll ever be great, but he's good, and they have the leverage right now, so throw something at him to see if he bites on it. That's what Ron used to do in the old days.
Okay, you're saying the quiet part out loud, Chewy. If you were Brian Gutekunst, you would at least be kicking the tires on this. Is that what you're saying?
It's just a dumb second-round pick. I mean, he's certainly, I believe, even at 30, a second-round pick. It's just like he's going to want 30-something.
Yeah, probably.
So, if it is a glaring need on this team. For a second, yeah, I'd probably do it. For a first, probably not.
But, I mean, again, I think Ron would kick the tires. Heck, I think Ted would kick the tires. Doesn't seem like Goody will.
So again, this is where I get so frustrated at, guys, because I understand having standards. I understand having tent poles, things that you base your philosophy on, things that are non-negotiables, right? But I also think that, like, in order to take that next step, sometimes you have to be willing to make an exception to the rule. And this is a position that you are so obviously and glaringly deficient at. You might have to bend your own rules in order to upgrade at that position, in order to get something of value at that position. That's what I don't understand, Chew.
What I think it's more of is he'd have to admit he was wrong, which GMs have a problem doing. Because if you went out and got Trey Henderson, you're essentially saying, well, I missed on Van Ness, which was the 13th pick, which is a high pick. And then Rashawn Gary paying him looks to be a mistake. And that's why I don't think he does it, because he's not given up on Van Ness yet. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah.
And I think that's a character flaw. I think every time he digs his heels in on guys who have shown, and look, maybe I could be wrong. Maybe Van Ness goes out there and has a blockbuster year. He's a game changer. He's a game wrecker. And we could be like, oh, Goody was right to give that guy another year of development, but not being able to admit mistakes at that level in that position is a character flaw. And this, to me, I wouldn't read it as he's admitting a mistake. It would be he's correcting a mistake. And yes, when you make mistakes and you correct your mistakes, does it cost you a little bit more sometimes, Gabe? Yes, it does. Do you have to do things that you're not comfortable doing? Yes, you do. But that's where I get so frustrated about this Trey Hendrickson thing, because by everything we have seen with our eyes on the field, he could be that next level game changer for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, but sure. I understand not giving up on Van. He's halfway through his rookie contract, and he does have a lot of athleticism, right? They're going to give him every opportunity. It's the old Tau saying, first round picks have to prove they don't belong in the league. Sixth and seventh round picks have to prove they belong in the league consistently. So I understand not giving up on Lucas Van Ness, because he's going to be going into year three.
And he's not costing any money.
Correct. Though. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. True. And that's why you don't give up on a lot of your draft picks unless they absolutely prove that they do not belong.
So let me ask you this. If they're eighth in power rankings right now, I believe that's where they were at. If they kept Jair and signed Hendrickson, where are they at? Five?
Yeah. I'd throw him up there.
Yeah.
But again, to
it'd
me...
It'd be mostly Hendrickson, if I'm being honest. Yeah. For me, Jair doesn't move the needle as much. But Hendrickson, to me, elevates that defense tenfold.
I think running it through the cornerback idea and bringing up Jair actually fits here. How much do we think... Because at this point, I sort of think the Packers just believe their cornerback room's fine as is with or without Jair. And a part of me, I disagree with it, also thinks they think their pass rushers are fine. They didn't invest high draft capital into it. They didn't go out and make any moves. We think there's enough here. We think we can get after the quarterback consistently. I don't agree with that, but that seems to be what they're telling us.
Did they buy into like the seven sacks they had against the Titans last year? Like, oh man, look at that one game.
Right, and I also don't know the offensive line. I thought it was great. They obviously didn't. Everyone graded out their offensive line as pretty good. Everywhere you look, and then the way they talk about their offensive line, and then the way they invested in Belton early and went out and got Aaron Banks would tell me they don't.
It feels like they don't want to pay offensive linemen. Like, that's what it feels
except
like to
me. Except for the 77 they gave to Aaron Banks.
Yeah, like that's the weird part.
Right.
That is the weird part, because they don't want to give the money, clearly don't want to give money to Zach Tom.
Right.
Obviously, I mean, they've put Rasheed Walker in competition every year. Not going to give that dude money.
Elton's holding out.
Elton wants more guaranteed money for switching positions. They don't want to pay any of them.
Or maybe I'm just not also looking enough at Baron Sorrell. Maybe I should be like, you know what? The Packers believe they addressed their pass rushing issues when they went out and got Baron Sorrell. But from everything I've read, thank you. I saw your face. You were like, ah! From everything I've read, the pass rush is the element where he needs the most. He needs to take the most steps. He needs to have the most growth. Go ahead, Gabe.
How often?
Gabe's jaw was, what do you call it? Slack jaw?
The whole
time I was talking about that.
How often is the fourth round pick the answer to a need that
I
you
know.
Have?
Listen, I'm over here banging it's not, on like, the Hendrickson drum.
Maybe Baron Sorrell is part of the future. Like a guy like Aaron Kampman was a fourth round pick, and Kampman became a great Packer. Took him a few years to get there. Usually that fourth
consistent,
round pick.
Consistent, dependable, yes.
Needs to get a little seasoning on them first before they become a cornerstone of your franchise. So, yeah, in terms of 2025, I'm not expecting a lot out of Baron Sorrell. Can't expect a lot out of him. That'd be unfair to him as a fourth round pick.
And again, I think we can go back to this idea of maybe he's just bad at drafting that position. Again, not putting Sorrell into it, because obviously he deserves the opportunity to show what he can do at the NFL level. But the Lucas Van Ness thing is hanging around Goody's neck like an albatross. It's just this giant, like, anchor that's just swinging back and forth as he walks through the room. Until he starts to perform at a first round level, I'm going to be of belief that you should at least kick the tires and figure out if there's an opportunity to steal Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals. And that's where I'm going to keep sitting. So every time his name comes up, until this thing is resolved, maybe he ends up sitting out. If I'm Goody, I'm making the call. Just, hey, well, how are we doing? Well, how are things going? I've been hearing some stuff. Like, just see if this is a way to upgrade. Yes, you'll have to pay for it. Yes, it's going to be uncomfortable. But sometimes I think you have to do that to correct a mistake, which right now it feels like is the position they are in at the pass rush spot.
This is not a drill. I want to tell you about our friends at X-Golf at American Family Field. And if you sink a hole-in-one at X-Golf inside AmFam Field, you will win the ultimate Brewers prize. A trip down Bernie's Slide. That's right. You nail the shot. You and a friend will get game tickets and up to five trips down that iconic slide inside American Family Field. It's a lot of fun. We got to do it last year. Spectacular. Yep. Hit a hole-in-one. Suddenly, you're living every fan's childhood dream. I mean, heck with childhood dream. It's still my dream. Go down that thing all the time. Book your time. X-Golf inside American Family Field. Open public 7 days a week. All you have to do is go to xgolf.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No. Not how this
attaboy.
Works. That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So the general sentiment is that I am overreacting to the Trey Hendrickson thing, huh, guys? Just, it's one of those pipe dreams that I need to let go.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I understand why you're as excited as you are. I get it. It's not a reality.
I think you need to think of it this way. We hadn't gotten a big trade in a long time. We also hadn't gotten for 22 years a wide receiver in the first round. We got one. There's zero chance to
do it. Getting both?
Christmas doesn't happen twice. That's crazy, Jen. I would love it. I'd love to have another Christmas, so but I don't think so.
You asked for the pony and the Red Ryder BB gun.
Correct.
We got you the pony. You're going to have to accept that the BB gun isn't happening this year.
But would you give back, hold on, would you give back gold and take Kendricks?
So. Yes. Yes. One's an established player. I know what he's going to bring me.
I'm kind of with you.
I don't think I would.
Wow.
I don't think I would. I love Matthew Golden.
Yeah, again, I hate to be the one, but why not both? Why can't we have nice things?
You already know that. You already
know.
I know.
And again, I think
Mommy
I've articulated.
And Daddy have a budget.
Yeah, I think I've well, that actually doesn't apply here. I think I've articulated, though, the reasons why it feels like Goody is going to have to go out of his comfort zone if he wants to upgrade that position. Okay? Because what he has done and what he thinks is going to work so far has not worked. And I just don't know if it's going to. I know he thinks it's going to. I just give it a little more time, a little more development. We're going to get there. I don't know. And I got to be honest with you. You were talking about the cornerback position earlier, Joshy. Like, so much of the success of that unit is going to be dependent on the ability to get to the quarterback by the front line. And so there's a part of me that's like, help me help you. Help your cornerbacks be more successful by investing in the defensive line, by investing in a bona fide pass rusher. A guy who has shown he can do it. I understand the logic. I understand all of the arguments you guys are giving me. There's a part of me that just feels like this is stubbornness for stubborn's sake at some point. And Chewy makes a good point. You would have to admit that he was a bust, that you messed up.
Yeah, and look, I think LVN would still get his opportunities, and we'll see what happens with Rashawn Gary this year. I mean, they probably look at that position and go, hey, we're already investing so much. Like maybe we can't afford to invest even more in that position until one of those guys is cleared out. Until if Rashawn Gary doesn't come through this year, and then the Packers walk away with that from that contract without much penalty next offseason. And then in earnest, they try to figure out that position.
Well, yeah, you'd have to go get somebody, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're not bringing Gary back next year.
Well, I mean, if Rashawn Gary has 7 or 8 sacks, Chew, I don't think they're going to. Well,
hold on a minute. Now I'm seeing that there's a website that has proposed a trade. Again, website, not front office, so take it with a grain of salt. Potentially offering a package that includes Lucas Van Ness and draft picks. Would you include Lucas Van Ness in a, or in your mind is it, no, we want that, we want Lucas Van Ness and Hendrickson on the line together?
I mean, I don't care. I mean, go ahead and do it, but... Like, if I'm giving up Lucas Van Ness, like, again, it's to the point where I can't imagine you're giving up draft picks or you're giving up multiple ones. Like, eventually, if the Bengals are going to be this stubborn, they're going to end up selling low. But I can't imagine that they were even offered a first-round pick initially. Like, you're only worth what the market dictates for you. And I can't imagine a team going, yeah, after all this time, now we're going to give you multiple first-round picks or a first-round pick. I don't think that's happened and is going to happen for the Bengals.
I would agree. But it's Mike Brown, and Mike Brown's Mike Brown.
You keep saying that. What does that mean?
He's cheap as ever. Just, they do things. Like I had a deal together to get rid of Julio where they would have got something in return, and he didn't listen to me. Right, Gabe?
Is that what you did to tick off the entire city of Cincinnati?
I think there were people with me.
I can't remember what you did to get aggregated by the newspapers out in Cincinnati and get us on their public enemy number one list.
When was this? Was this recent? This was pre-Jen?
No, this was pre-Jen. Yeah, this was Chewy was doing
but
something.
But when he still had value and they were doing the same thing they're doing with Hendrickson, and I'm like, just get rid of him. I mean, you're going nowhere. Like, it was a great idea.
I think that's what it was. I think it was the you're going nowhere part that upset people. Yeah. Yeah. That's what made people mad. That's right.
Yeah.
It's funny because I didn't think that I would get my heart rate up. I didn't think I'd get my blood pressure up this morning, but I am absolutely, I can feel my pulse just racing right now when we talk about this Hendrickson thing. Because to me, it comes back to what you've done hasn't been good enough at that position. You have an opportunity to get one of the best in the league. Yes, it will cost a little more than you would like. Yes, it goes against some of the things that you have used as tent poles and as structures of how you want to build the team. But also, he's going to benefit the defense wholly.
But do you, because right now you'd have to overpay. Would you want to give up a first round pick for him?
Well, I thought that the longer this goes, the more likely the Bengals will be, especially if he is dead set on not playing. Mm-hmm. He's going to dig his heels in. Then you're getting nothing. Now, you're also fining him, but every article I've read says that whatever contract he gets next is going to make up for all of the money he gets fined. So would you rather have him giving you zero production, or would you rather at least get something for the asset?
Depends upon how stubborn you want to be. Because right now, right now, the trade market's very quiet. Jeremy Fowler made that perfectly clear in the article. Trade market's incredibly quiet, if not dead, because the Bengals just aren't picking up the phone. They're not even listening. I don't know if they want to have Hendrickson play out the contract or what their brilliant plan is here. But right now, it doesn't even seem like it's a possibility for anyone to trade for him because they're not even picking up the phone.
And their fans would be pissed if they did trade him. I know they drafted a D-end in the first round.
Yeah, Stewart, right?
Yeah.
Is he on the field yet? Because he wasn't playing yet for not having a contract.
Yeah. But this is how they do
this. It's all spotted. What are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know.
Again, would you, if you're the Bengals, too, would you be interested in LVN? Younger, athletic. Look, yeah. I'm gonna sell
to play
this
what
sucker.
Position? No, I would think he has very little trade value.
The thing that keeps a little hope alive is the Bengals are uniquely one of those teams that will bleep something up. They will uniquely make the wrong decision, and there's few teams like that where you can take advantage of them. And I just don't want the Packers to not be part of that if it ends up happening.
Can you imagine how upset you would be if you're T. Higgins?
Right.
Took less than market value under the guise of, oh, yeah, because we have more guys to sign, and then you trade away the guy you were hoping to keep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That would stink.
That sounds about right for the Bengals. Though, doesn't it? Yeah. If we're being honest.
There's a way to do it, and there's the way the Bengals do it.
So yeah, you get him,
so Josh.
Josh.
Yeah, I love what you're saying.
He's like, you take it. Take it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I've been there before.
Aggregate that. This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. And here's what they found, guys. And this is really interesting. 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support for your mental health. But only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. When people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their families. It affects their workplaces. It affects entire communities. It is time, if you find yourself in this spot of needing help, to get help, because BetterHelp is making it as easy as possible. Over 35,000 therapists, it's the world's largest online therapy platform. It's served more than 5 million people globally, and it is convenient too. You can join a session with just the click of a button from your home. It'll help you fit into your busy schedule. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. Look, I have done too many stories with my job where we talk about people who have struggled with their mental health and lost the battle. BetterHelp is trying to end that. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout to get help, because we are all better with help.
Here we go.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson of Bucks Plus Audio Production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks. Find Hear District now at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We put it on the Infinity Exterior poll today. When going to the bar and having drinks with your friends, what do? Do you leave your tab open the whole time, or do you close out after every drink? This brought on by, well, Joshy's personal experience and the article that he found in the New York Times that said that Gen Zers are not comfortable leaving a tab open. 81% of respondents said that they leave the tab open, closing out at the end of the night. And if you could only have one, which option would you prefer for the Green Bay Packers? Trade for Trey Hendrickson, draft Matthew Golden in the first round? This one's about 50-50 right now. 50-50, 50% saying trade for Hendrickson, 50 saying draft Golden in the first. We will continue monitoring the Hendrickson situation. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.